You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh.
Oh.
Woo. Yes. MMA. Oh, it's happening. It's smooth. Hey, guys.
You're bad at this, AK.
Welcome to
You're very bad at this.
Whoa. Guys, this is a jazzy tune. I'm not just going to talk over it. I got to let this tune ride a little bit.
Where's Mike?
Where's Michelle?
Hell?
Wow, rude. Hey guys, welcome to the UFC Vegas 43 Vanna versus Tate post fight show. I am handling the hosting duties right now. This is Alex Kaylee. I am very fortunate to be joined by the incredible Jose Youngs.
This is my first on-site event in God knows how long. I don't even remember how to do these post shows.
Off to a great start. And of course, in the truck, handling the ones and twos, one Mr. E. Casey Light.
Beep-bop, boop-bop, boop-bop.
That's what I do. That's
great. Yeah, that's producing sounds. Well, guys, yeah, I mean, that was a show. I think we can all, that was an MMA show.
No, a show connotates high levels of entertainment. Like,
it was an MMA show.
That was a UFC show. That was a sports card.
It was a card. You can't deny that. It was a card.
I can deny anything I want.
AK, on our fan Q&A, you said this was highly anticipated, one of the most highly anticipated cards of the year.
I said probably the most highly anticipated card of the year, yeah.
How'd it pan out?
I've absolutely lived up to expectations.
Okay, just checking.
I think it is accurate to say that this card lived up to expectations. People can make of that what they will. But it's sort of, Jose, you're shaking your head. What were your expectations for this card going into it?
I thought the main card ruled. Like, because I wasn't on your pre-fight Q&A, I was really hyped for the Terrence McKinney fight. Obviously, that fell out. Oh, so I was like, yeah. already off to a sour note leading into this fight. But I was very excited for Sean Brady and Michael Chiesa, and I was very excited for Adrian Yanez, Davy Grant. Now, Adrian Yanez and Davy Grant was a really fun fight, but it wasn't. I don't know if I set the bar too high for myself, considering we had I don't even know what events we're at anymore. Just everything's blurred together. Like 268 had like a fight of the year, and then like UFC Vegas 42 had like a fight of the year, and then I was like, well, look, it's gonna keep going. Adrian Yanez versus Davy Grant, best weight class in MMA, two of the one of the top prospects in the division. Against Davy Grant, who has like been on a tear with post fight bonuses too. I thought that was just gonna be a banger. It was a good fight, but it wasn't a banger. Still good though. Probably gonna be fight of the night, but
Yanez Grant.
Yeah.
I thought it was a banger. Was it a banger?
Yeah, it banged.
It did. It was a very fun, entertaining fight. I'm saying I think I might have set the bar too high.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Actually, Davy Grant kind of exceeded my expectations. I thought it was going to be relative one-way traffic for Yanez, but Davy Grant made this a freaking dogfight, and good on him. But Adrian Yanez, I thought, was definitely the superior fighter. But hey, we're talking about that. We're talking about the opening fight for the main card first.
I know.
So that's.
Davy Grant, I thought, had a fantastic game plan. Like that front kick to the face, like you actually using his length to keep Adrian Yanez away. I just feel like he got away from it. Because that first round, he was going to the body and the chin a lot, and then he just deviated.
I also think the way Yanez rolls of punches so well, I think even though he wasn't getting touched very hard, I think it made it a closer than the fight really was, except because he just rolls of punches so well. So it looks like he's getting hit, but he's really taking like 90% off the impact away. But which is a dangerous thing for judges. If judges don't really recognize that and they just see you roll and they think you get hit of it, and in close rounds, you might lose that round. But great. Just clearly the best fight on the card. Yeah, clearly the best fight on the card.
Adrian Yanez, I have dubbed him the algorithm. Adrian, the algorithm Yanez. I love, you can see how he kind of picks things up. Davy Grant was right there with him, though. Again, that's a guy who he fights so wild at times, just throwing bombs. I think he was the perfect opponent for Yanez at this point in his career. Because when you think you've got him figured out, he can just go berserker, and that's what kind of made the fight so fun. But I think if Mike were here, he would have wanted me to start with the main
event.
Before we even do that, let's speculate on what the bonus might be, guys. I know you guys were talking about this a little bit off camera, so some behind the scenes magic for you. There's 12 fights. 11 fights went to the judges. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad card, but I think if anyone actually watched a lot of these decisions, they could tell you it was not a great card.
There were 11 fights. 11 fights.
11 fights. I'm sorry. We lost McKinney, Farazim, of course. 11 fights, 10 decisions. 10 decisions. Mm-hmm. That's not even
the most of the year.
Not even the most of the year. But percentage wise,
yeah, it's pretty
heavy. One finish. I believe it was MMA Decisions that tweeted, this is the first time ever that there's been this many decisions and only one finish on a card. So that sounds believable to me. So let's go. Let's talk bonuses, guys. I think one of them obviously pretty obvious. Two of them pretty obvious. What are we going to do with this other one?
I was going to throw it to Casey,
but Jose, go ahead. You just jump in whenever you want. Jose, go ahead. What are you saying for bonuses? Go ahead.
I think Casey and I both, obviously the two, Tally Santos and Giannis Grant is going to get the, but then like the, I think Casey, you said Vieira, I could see that just because you kind of smacked up a former champ.
I mean, if you had to give it to somebody, I would give it to Vieira basically. I mean, otherwise the UFC is just going to pocket the money. that's all. I mean, I know they won't do it, but give a fight of the night to the main event. Freak it. They're the main event. That's why people showed up. I don't know.
I was gonna say give 100,000 to Santos. If you're only gonna reward if they only want to reward a finish. And her win was really good. I mean, I thought that was very impressive. I know a lot of people, she was one of the bigger favorites on the card. A lot of people were predicting her to beat JoJo. But I guess maybe because I thought JoJo would do better. I know a lot of people said that this would be a dominant win for Tyler Santos. But she looked great and might be the next title challenger. So
how about this? Okay, fight of the night, clearly Giannis Grant.
Sure.
Performance, yes. Santos, easy. Mm-hmm. The other performance, for the first time ever, we're going to give it to Michael Chiesa for winning by pride rules. And since we're getting the money. Because if that was a pride scorecard, Michael Chiesa wins that fight. I think we can agree on that one.
Casey, let's talk about the co-main event because we're skipping the main event. Mike's not here. We can jump all over. This is not a Mike Heck show. This is an AK Lee show.
Right?
And a lot of people were saying they would have loved if this had been the main event. They would have
and if it was five rounds.
And Chiesa and Brady had gotten five rounds. Especially after watching it, it could have been a totally different story. Mike Chiesa, as you said, looked great. And by the way, I would argue, not even on pride rules, I think you could make a case that he won on the unified rules. I do think the second round, he actually did pretty well, did quite a bit of damage, but not as much the third round. Third round, a clear Chiesa. First round, I think, clear Brady. I thought the second round was closer, but so much control and positional advantage by Brady.
But all the hard shots were landed by Chiesa, and damage is supposed to be the most dominant, most priority in scoring fights.
No question. I don't think a Chiesa scorecard is crazy. Jose, what did you see? Did you think this was a really convincing win for Brady, or is there an argument for Chiesa? Was something gained here by the win for Brady?
I mean, just the fact that we're even having an argument that it could be for Chiesa, that's the answer right there. I scored it for Sean Brady. He basically out Chiesa'd Michael Chiesa'd, if that makes sense. Like, it was very like what he did to Michael Chiesa is essentially what Michael Chiesa did to Neil Magny over five rounds. Like, if this was a five round fight, Michael Chiesa is going to win this fight. He ran out of time. I don't know. Sean Brady is a very uber and talented fighter. Obviously, he's undefeated. This is the biggest win of his career. Obviously, I'm just saying a lot of obvious things right now, but I don't think he's going to be vaulted into the top five after this win, if that makes sense.
No, I'd be very surprised if anyone put him in there.
You know what I want to watch, though? Mm-hmm. Daniel Rodriguez versus Sean Brady.
Ooh.
Just all the tattoos in the world.
Yeah. I like that styles clash. I like those. Yeah,
I love that fight.
They're also like
Daniel Garcia is a pretty massive welterweight. And I want to see Sean Brady tangle with like a, because obviously Mike Chiesa is a very tall, lanky guy, but Daniel Rodriguez is a thick boy. I want to see Sean Brady tangle with him.
Casey, you're saying you think there was a case again, pride rules or regular rules. He looked very good and he won. He clearly did the most damage. What did you see from? I want to know first what you thought of, like, how much did this do for Brady? Did this fight? Was this fight still a good fight for Brady?
Oh, it was an awesome fight for Brady. Going to this fight, I think we were asking the question, you know, is this a make or break fight for Chiesa? You know, what do we call it?
Crossroads?
Like crossroads fight, yes. Crossroads. It's a crossroads fight for Chiesa. And I said it was, if he loses, I was like, oh, he's complete, like, we're not going to see him in a contender's fight for a long time if he loses this fight. I'm wrong. I think this was the type of loss that, even though he gets the L, I don't think you would say Sean Brady is leaps and bounds above Chiesa as far as skill set. And I think obviously Sean Brady's a very talented welterweight and an elite welterweight. I think we got to see that tonight. He's not a fully formed, not fully formed. He's not. He hasn't hit his full potential. But fully formed.
He hasn't evolved yet.
Yeah, he's evolved yet. There's still, but Brady's been out for a while.
Embryo. Embryo.
He's an embryo. He's still a fetus. Yeah. He's still a fetus in there. Chiesa just didn't have, it wasn't his best night, but even I think on his, this wasn't his best performance, but even on his kind of non-best performance, he arguably won that fight and definitely busted up Sean Brady more than he got busted up. Yeah, he lost in positional positions, but if you go and just get punched in the face, Chiesa still won. And Brady just looks like he still has holes in his striking defense that he's gonna need to fix up. And I don't want to say he needs a better gas tank, because he did train for three rounds, so he did everything right. You win the first two rounds, you can just survive the third round. But obviously, Chiesa just has a massive gas tank, and the man is built for five rounds. So,
yeah. Look, it's very weird that Brady did get the unanimous decision win, but it seems to have raised more questions about him than raised for Chiesa. Obviously, we know more about Mike Chiesa, so I guess this only reinforced some of the things we already knew about him. But it is strange that this was supposed to answer some things about Brady, and maybe for some people it did. But it seems to also have raised a lot of questions. I thought it was a good performance, but I know what you guys are saying. There's some room for interpretation there, and it does feel like he's going to be in the top 10 for sure. Even in our rankings, Chiesa was number 8, so Brady will presumably at least jump over him, unless Chiesa just drops behind him. But it does feel like he's farther from Kamaru Usman, who was cage side today, and I don't think was sweating Sean Brady too much at this stage of their careers.
No.
We can talk about this a bit more, guys, but all right, you're right. We should talk about the main event. Maybe not the most exciting fight. A good performance, I think, for the winner. And I don't think a terrible performance by the loser either. Maybe I'm wrong. Jose, just give me your overall assessment of what we saw in those last 25 minutes there.
It just looked like Misha had taken a lot of time off and came in and fought Mayor Nono, who was on her way out, probably, on the other side of 40. And Misha Tate was supposed to look good in that fight. She looked really good in that fight. And then she came in and fought Caitlin Vieira, who's been very active the last few years and has fought the best of the best the last few years. And it's just different generations. Like, a lot of the fighters in this top 135 weren't fighting or weren't in a lot of, they were all fighting. They weren't in the top 10 yet when Misha Tate retired initially, and now she's back. And Caitlin has kind of fought all these guys. Like, she got knocked dead by Irene Aldana, but a lot of these guys she's already fought. And maybe the game's evolved, maybe she's just this in the prime of her career and Misha Tate was a step behind her. I don't think Misha Tate is by any means outside of the top 10, maybe outside of the top 7, but Caitlin Vieira was just the better prime fighter in this generation of MMA.
Casey, your thoughts on that, the whole situation overall?
I expected Tate to win this fight in kind of a grindy up against the cage wrestling match, and Vieira was better at stopping Tate's wrestling, to the point where I think Tate really only really shot in and really made strong attempts for takedowns maybe what, 3 or 4 times in the fight at most. I mean, maybe not the last two rounds at all. The problem with Vieira, it's almost like I said this going into the fight, there's something just, I don't know, it sounds bad, but it's something uninspiring about the way she fights. You feel like there's just, I think Dean Thomas kind of alluded to this, there was some, like, she's like, you just wish she had more confidence in her power, more confidence in who she is as a fighter. Clearly, her jab seems to be one of the best jabs in the bantamweight division. And that jab was just that jab, and that uppercut left hook she was throwing was just hitting Misha all the time, and you just wish she was, just had more confidence. And you could you heard Vieira's coaches just yell. I couldn't understand them, but it doesn't sound like doesn't sound like she was listening to her coaches, and their coaches just kept yelling at her like, just do this, don't go for takedowns. I think she lost that first round, or maybe the second round, when she went for kind of a takedown for no real good reason, and Misha kind of got back control or kind of got that hip ride from it. That's the kind of the problem with Vieira. It's not that she's not a title contender. It's just I'm just not interested in watching her fight. You know, I know she's good, and like it's hard to explain, but I think everyone kind of feels it. You know,
and the problem is, like, she's beating Misha Tate, who's not the biggest bantamweight in the world, and she's beating Sajara Eubanks, who is not the biggest bantamweight in the world, and she got, like, outside of those two, she's fought of the elite bantamweights in the world. She's fought in Yana, who's probably she's fought at 145 before, and then she got absolutely smashed by Irene. Mm-hmm. Like, she was asleep. So I think her most memorable moment in the UFC is getting her lights turned out.
Yeah, unfortunately,
you never want that.
Yeah. And when she does win, it's just kind of okay. And it seems like it was just 25 minutes, and there wasn't really any true highlights from the fight.
Casey, as you kind of said, even her corner was telling her, I think they knew she was doing well. But this is around like the third round. I think after the third round, but they were like, you need to go forward more. So it's like, even though they knew she was doing well, they wanted to see more, which I think sums up kind of what you're saying and what everyone watching was saying. Like, whether they thought she was winning the fight or not, it's definitely like, should Caitlin Vieira not be doing better? She seems to be controlling the striking and yet not going for a finish, not really asserting herself. Again, should she have to? That's another story altogether. I did feel she was winning the fight for the most part. Tate, a great effort, very tough, a lot of volume, but was just getting hit harder. I do feel like Vieira was doing most of the damage. The commentary did not do Caitlin Vieira any favors. I do not know. Cormier, at one point, he had two very strange moments where he was like, her corner's yelling something at her in Brazilian. I don't know what it is. And Brendan Fitzgerald, like, specifically got out of his way. He was like, go ahead, DC, you're hearing something. It's like, yeah, they're saying something Brazilian. I don't know what, it's very aggressive. And I'm like, good job, DC. Good job. Yeah, great. Yeah, exactly. He might have said Portuguese. I don't want to misquote.
So we got bonuses.
We do. But hold on, before he said, and the other thing he was saying this weird thing, like, we're judging Vieira on this weird curve because of her history. And, like, literally everyone on Twitter I saw at the time was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, I didn't know that meant either. Yeah.
I saw the bonuses. Go ahead, Jose, if you'd like to read them out, please.
Two bonuses. Fight of the night, Grant Yanez. Farms of the night, Talia Santos.
Yeah, they're keeping that. Keeping
they kept the 50 grand.
They're keeping it for the for their own Christmas.
God, the UFC, can't believe them. Like, that's how you make the biggest profits ever. You just stop giving out bonuses. Like, whatever.
Do we know she's not getting 100,000? We don't necessarily know that. Like, I sincerely doubt it. We don't know that, right?
Yeah, I don't know that. Also, to surprise to no one, Misha Tate has been transported to the hospital to undergo a CT scan.
Yes, and good. It was a tough fight. She took a lot of hard shots to the head. So
especially for the later rounds, for sure.
Yeah,
and unfortunately,
I
believe Dana White is not on site, so there will be no Dana White convo.
All right, so this is going to be a real corker of a press conference. You guys can check that out later. Stick with us, please, for now. You guys can check out the press conference highlights later. We'll write some of that stuff up. But pretty much what we expected with the bonuses, guys. Fight of the night, of course, Giannis Grant, and then the one finish got the one bonus. I think give her $100,000.
Yeah, it should have been $100,000,
I don't think that's going to happen. But let's talk a little bit more about the rest of the main card. We've talked about everyone except Hanayaya, 37-year-old wonder fighting Kyung Ho Kang,
who's not Hanayaya. What's his name? What's his name, Jose?
Oh, Hanayahu.
Autocorrect gets you again.
I was making some coffee and I tweeted it, and then my phone started to blow up, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna let that exist. So,
Hanayahu.
This is the victorious Hanayahu over Kyung Ho Kang. You know, again, not a super exciting fight, but man, it is fun to see. It's still fun to see Yaya every time he's in there. Just find a way to win these fights, because Kang, a bigger guy, I think stronger guy, won the first round, and then somehow Yahya just. Oh no, sorry. I think Kang won the second round. I think I'm straight in my head, but regardless. Kang clearly won one of the first two rounds, and then but Yahya, man, that grappling, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I felt like Yahya, when he gets hit, because Kang hit him hard a few times, and he gets hit, he kind of plays possum a bit. He kind of acts like he's hurt more than he is. And then Kang started pounding and started doing ground and pound, jumped in his guard maybe, or got kind of above him. And then, of course, you know, Yahya, like, it's a trap, and he pulls him in. And I felt like Kang fell for that like multiple times. If he'll beat him up, and then he'll get way too close, and then he gets taken down, and then, you know, then it's all Yahya. It's all Yahya.
Jeez, right in that third round, Kang was hurting him, and then he does a great job, stuffs a takedown, beautiful textbook sprawl, but doesn't get up out of the sprawl quickly enough. Kind of tries to hang on to Yahya. Yeah. Yahya, a beautiful, you would know how to explain this better than I would, Casey, just this beautiful reversal. Somehow, it's like, it seems like spins their bodies around as they're getting up and ends up on top, like holding, like he's in sprawl position all of a sudden. It's just amazing, his grappling. And Kang, probably his game plan could have been a bit sharper. Jose, what do you think of WEC, the ageless Yahya's performance?
WEC never die, Ronnie Yahya.
Definitely
everyone
not.
Keeps talking about WEC vets. And also K-1 vet, Ronnie Yahya.
Yeah, Yahya. K-1 vet. Yeah, everyone forget. Yeah.
Jungle Fight, Heroes, K-1, WEC, UFC. Fight, like, yeah. Dude's fought freaking everywhere. Like, well, I'm pretty sure he's made his debut. Remember they used to do, like, Fight for the Troops? Like those type things.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure he fought like Mike Brown on that card. Like that's how long he's been fighting. The man is a wizard. He also seems down to fight anybody. Like because there were moments where like I know he lost to Joe Soto somewhere in there, but he had like seven out of eight were wins, and he's, none of them I don't think were even remotely household names outside of like losing to Joe Soto and Ricky Simone. Like he seems down to just fight anybody at any point. So good on Ronnie Yahya. And my stories about him were like, remember when this old show we used to do, the A-Side, and Shorty Torres used to be on, and he used to talk about how like on Tuesdays he would have to grapple Ronnie Yahya, and then on Wednesdays he'd have to spar with Edson Barbosa. And I was like, what's worse? And he's like, oh, absolutely rolling with Ronnie Yahya. It's like you just drown for 5 hours. Shorty Torres, it's one of those guys where she said Shorty was like, I've debated like quitting after like rolling with him because you just, there's nothing you can do.
Is how many UFC vets are still left in the UFC?
That's a good question. Yeah, like Cub Swanson, Aldo,
Korean Zombie,
Zombie, yeah. Aldo, Cub Swanson, Aldo.
Someone is asking, sorry, I just see a comment. Someone was asking, I wonder if the crowd got paid to be there. I just want to answer in the comments. Apparently, tickets actually cost upwards of $2,000.
Oh, you have no, dude. So, all right, I'm glad you brought this up. I wanted to talk about this because I've been at a lot of these fights, and I was at the last one. And if you're a fight fan, it's an awesome experience. Like outside of like paying like $2,000, like you go and there's like fighters, like you can mingle with the fighters. It's like a side room with like food that you can like eat and then go out and sit cage side, and you can like pose with belts and take photos. It's like a cool merch shop. Obviously, I would never pay like $2,000, $3,000. Maybe I would pay $2,000 to watch like Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez fight, maybe like a fight like that, or like TJ Dillashaw, Corey Sandhagen. But if you're in Vegas and you have like $3,000, $2,000 to just spend and you're a huge MMA fan, and this sounds like I'm just plugging the UFC, but I was like honestly really surprised at how much access fans got to like fans and like fighters and all that stuff. So it's honestly not that bad of a time if you're a fight fan outside of the ticket price.
Yeah, it sounds like a cool experience. And again,
it is
outside the ticket price.
Yeah. And it's like, but it, like last week, you had just an insane fight week. And like everyone there was like by the time everyone left, they were all like best friends. Like all, because like it's such a, there's only like 400 people there. You just end up knowing everybody. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, again, like I said, good experience. Tonight's card probably not the best. We've talked about the main card. We'll get to listener questions in a second.
What are you talking about? Tonight's card is a great. Look how many rounds of MMA you got to see.
This is true.
All these first round knockouts, man. You're not getting shortchanged, man. Like this is the best, man. Like you want everybody to go to decision. You want a bunch of eye pokes. You want those 5 minute, 5 minute, you know, eye poke clock. Yeah.
one of your friends went to one of the more recent Fight Night cards. Like, man, some of the fights I saw only last like 35 seconds. Dude. I saw like a 90 second submission. What you saw? You saw like 7-15 minute long fights. Lucky. Oh, what?
It's kind of when you enter the Apex, Casey. I don't think you, when you went to the Connor fight with me, it was a big enough card that we had to go to that other room. But the normal media room is to the left when you walk in,
yeah.
And all of the fans have to enter right next to it. And it's very weird when they're all like looking in and they're like banging on the window and they're like, "Is that John Morgan? Is that Jose? Is that Oscar?" I'm just like, "Yeah, like we're just like zoo animals to like MMA fans."
Oh gosh, guys! I was going to transition to the. Were there any under preliminary highlights? I guess we can go to the questions right now. I do see Natalie Duran asking the question of the day.
Do we want to go? Do you want to go to it?
Yeah, let's just go to the question. There's some positive.
All right, let's go to it.
Here we go. Can start to talk about it.
Here we go. Let's just get this out of the way.
Throw it up. Let's go. Natalie Duran wants to know, what is your reaction to the Cody Durden post-fight interview? I hate to even repeat this and give this guy any extra publicity. For anyone who didn't see it, he wins a hard-fought decision over Ari Keleng. I'm sorry, I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. And then said, DC is interviewing him first. Who do you want to call out? Good stuff. I want to talk to Jeff Molina. He said he's going to put his nuts on my head. That was awkward enough. And then I asked him about his opponent. He says, he fought well, but I had to send him back to China where he came from. Mm. Super long awkward pause after,
and the groan you heard.
Whoever was there, you heard a loud groan. DC wisely kind of just like took the mic away. I think he didn't know what to say, and I don't blame him on this instance. The commentary team didn't know what to say. They kind of addressed it after, just kind of mentioned what an odd statement it was. Call out Durden. But obviously the reaction on social media, pretty immediate. A lot of fighters saying, yo, that was pretty racist. He crossed the line. I want to beat this guy up. Some call outs. So it was good to see that because, Casey, you know, we can kind of speak as Asian Americans or Asian Canadian, however people want to say it. It was shocking. It kind of caught me off guard. I was just wasn't expecting that kind of. Casey, you can go first. Give me your thoughts on this.
Basically, it's racist as fuck. I don't know. It's just like I don't know why you would say that. You fought. It was a good grindy fight. It was a good hard fought win. I don't understand that. Like. We just saw last week, we saw Max Holloway defeat Yair Arias. What did Max Holloway do? Hey, man, you rule. I'm like, viva la Mexico. Max Holloway didn't go back to Mexico, Yair. Like, it wasn't, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. And obviously, you look, people went through Durden's, his social media post, goodness. And it gets way worse. Really? It just gets way worse.
Oh, my so, goodness.
He can claim it wasn't. I know what it is. Yeah. I would say this. The UFC is a private. I guess they're a private company. Whatever. They're their own business. If this is how they want to handle things, then that's on them, and it's on us. We can comment on it and stuff. But that's how the UFC wants to run business, and if they're okay with that, they're okay with that. Me myself, as an Asian American, no, I don't like it. Don't like it at all. I don't want to see it in the sport. And it was racist. That's all.
And look, people have to know there's a big difference between saying, first of all, I saw some people saying, what if he said, go back to some other place? I'm like, have you ever heard someone say, I had to send him back to Ohio? I had to send him back to Florida. It's never come up. So someone give me an example that's similar to this, and I'll be like, okay, I guess there's some parallel. That does not happen.
Let's not be stupid. We know what it meant. Don't play coy. You know, we live in society. We know what's going on in the world. We know the racial hate crimes that have gone across, you know, North America, Canada too, you know, here in Canada. Yeah, it sucked, and it was disappointing, and that's it. Just disappointing.
When you tell someone to go back to their own country, whether it's China, Mexico, I don't know, anything, whatever they happen to be from, Poland, I don't care. There's a racial, xenophobic, whichever, however you want to phrase it, element to it. Cody Durden has to know that it was very unfortunate. He did speak about it a little bit at the post-fight press conference. Our good pal Oscar Willis did press him on the matter, and he was just kind of like, hey, man, if people have a problem with it, just call me out. I think he's really referring to fighters, not fans. He's like, call me out, sign on the dotted line. Like, you know, let's settle this in the cage and all that. And, I didn't mean anything racial by it. That's what he said when he just said no when Oscar asked him, was there a racist sentiment there? Oscar pretty much is calling him out. He's like, no. And then he later took to Twitter and did the non-apology. If anyone was offended, I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize if you were offended. Not. I know I said something wrong. I messed up. And that only led to people digging up his old tweets. Jose, I would love to get your opinion on this, Jose. You did watch that segment as it happened?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What? Let me know, man. What's your reaction?
I mean, obviously, it's despicable. Like, there's no room for it. And I feel like a lot of people on Twitter were like, oh, there's no room for this in MMA. I'm like, there's no room for this in just life. Like, take the sports out of it. It was good to see a lot of his fellow fighters calling him out, because yes, a lot of people kind of view MMA fighters as like, you know, there's like that stigma. It's like a bunch of like just idiot, like people that lock themselves and get in a cage fight. Like, pretty sure Jared Gordon was like said something. He's like, a Tyler Durden making white people look like idiots once again and stuff like that. And like Bilal Muhammad called him out, Casey O'Neill called him out, and now a lot of people are digging up past tweets that he said. So the dude is a clown, the dude is a turd. Called out Jeff Molina was already about it. He's like, I will mess this fool up. So I don't particularly care if he fights again in the UFC or not, because I would imagine even if he gets one more fight, he gets smacked up that badly. He's probably not going to be in the UFC much longer. But yeah, but at the same time, like, the fact that I wouldn't be surprised if the UFC kept him around is jarring to me.
And the unfortunate part, and this sucks that I have to say this, but this is prize fighting, and unfortunately, this worked for Corey 100%. Durden.
We're talking about him.
I'm going to remember his name now, and the next time he fights, be it Jeff Molina, be it Casey O'Neill, I don't give a f, whatever, I'm going to watch his fight, unfortunately. And so if getting eyes to watch your fight is the end game here, it worked, but yeah.
The sad thing is, I don't even think it's that. And look, you're right, though. We're talking about Cody Durden more than we ever thought we would heading into the show. By the way, Jose, you also called him Tyler Durden at one point. How dare you besmirch the good? Tyler Durden may be an imaginary piece of crap. As far as we know, he is not a xenophobe. He probably is. Tyler Durden probably is a xenophobe. Anyway, but don't besmirch the good name of Tyler Durden. That's not implicit.
Just say good name. Tyler Durden is one of those characters where if you are really into like the Joker or Tyler Durden
Rick from Ricky
Morty, like, you're an asshole. So like, move on with your life.
All right. So are we good? Are we good talking about Durden?
I think we can.
I'm ready.
It's a pretty clear cut issue, but all right, guys, don't be like that. You know, don't be like that.
All right.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands and thousands. There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
A lot of critique on this card. It seems like just fans I think coming off was last week Holloway Yair? Was that last week?
Yes.
Sorry.
And some of the other amazing the back to back pay per views were just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, back to back pay per views and amazing fight night last week. I think we were all kind of riding a high. I think we were due for a card, and I think we got one today. Yeah, that's just how it is. Whole car was miserable.
I want to read that guy's comment before. Derek Johnson said this card was forgettable. Yeah, but you got to remember, for the UFC, it's bad. But also, we were talking about this in the pre-fight, Casey, that people don't – they will forget this card. But they're not going to – but they won't – no one's going to look back and go like, oh, man, remember how crappy that Tate Vieira card was like 4 months – like 2 months from now. No one's going to remember that. People only remember when the UFC, again, delivers one of those cards that nobody's talking about, and then it turns out to be good, and then they're like, oh, they always – this is where the adage of all the – when they don't hype up a card, it always turns out to be good. So I should start keeping track of cards like this that aren't very hyped up and don't turn out to be good, because it just isn't true. And again, with respect to all the fighters who competed on the card, except for Cody Durden, of course, it just wasn't a very good card. It wasn't a very good card.
Hold on a second.
Oh, Lucas Shield. Lucas, I am going to I said he's going to be mentioned on to the next one as well. He wants to know. I didn't want to go in on this either. We try to keep a positive space, but it has to be mentioned. How atrocious was the commentary? Weird take on the main, missing Brady's striking in the co-main, just a lot of weird moments. Jose, what was going on with I want to say specifically DC?
it was specifically DC. Like, yes. I don't know what it's been, but lately these DC has been way off. Like, even at 268, yeah, it was that MSG card. There were some bad moments in there, but like the post fight interviews, like when he does the interview that Rogan normally does, when he go up to the fighters, how many times did you watch that where he just didn't know what to say? He was like, "So you won. What are your thoughts?" And then he would just hold the mic, and then like he tried to shake Talia Santos' hand like four times, and she just didn't know what was happening. Like, it wasn't the best night for Daniel Cormier. And even like Fitzgerald, he's like, yeah, Misha Tate, like, she had a main event in her first fight back, and Fitzgerald's like, no, that was co-main event. And then he's like, all right, co-main event. And then who is it? He's like, he's like, Fitzgerald, do you watch all the fights? And Fitzgerald is like, what? Do I watch all the fights? I don't go back and watch fights. I'm at the fights. I know what happens. And he goes, you remember the fights? He goes, yeah, I have to commentate them. He goes, oh, I don't remember anything. It just wasn't great. It just wasn't great. It wasn't a great night for Daniel Cormier.
At least when DC is just off, at least he's still charming.
And yeah, that's what kind of carries. Yeah, you're very much like, oh, Daniel, you're trying so hard. Yeah. Like, you're like, I, you know what? You're champ, one of the greatest fighters of all time. You get a little bit of a pass, but man, like it was the last few weeks have been rough for Daniel Cormier.
I like DC when there's a third person in there, someone maybe like a Felder or not, Cruz,
yes,
or Cruz,
not,
or someone.
Not Joe Rogan.
Not Rogan. Someone.
Not Rogan. And Felder wasn't on his game in September either. This, like, because Felder was like, because like, I'm glad Felder didn't commentate this fight, because it would have been rough. He would have been overly complimented to Sean Brady.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, because he's like Philadelphia guys. He can't hide it.
Yeah.
I think Bisping and Felder are great together. I really do.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah, and DC. As soon as someone goes for a takedown, DC is like, he won the round.
DC, we all agree, amazing fighter, good personality, seems like a really nice guy. Commentary is hard. Commentary is really hard.
It is very hard.
So let's acknowledge this is a guy who does. I know he's had a lot of shows to work on over the last couple of years, but is still relatively new to the commentary game. So he's bad. I don't think it's unfair to say he's bad at it. And that's not to say he can never get better, but I don't think we have to, because we like him so much. I don't think we have to pretend like, oh, he's doing a really great job. It's like he's bad. He's bad. The post fight interviews are not easy. When someone tells him they don't have a call out, he really has to just let it go. You know, he can't push him back. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't have a call out? It's like this is so uncomfortable. This is so uncomfortable. So I think he can get better, but he definitely has to be criticized and study the criteria. Please, DC, study the scoring criteria.
One last thing on this. I'm really glad he's getting all of this out on these kind of cards. You know, like pay-per-views, he's had some rough moments, but like, these are the cards you want to make mistakes. These are the cards to make them on.
All right.
Yeah. Joseph Bose, thank you. Some positivity here. How much of a badass is Lupe Godinez? 3 fights in 7 weeks, went 2-1. That's right. Three fights in 42 days, I believe, a UFC record. So, yes, amazing. I've questioned both her and Sam Hughes for taking these fights on short notice and so quickly. Did not work out for Sam Hughes again. Lupe, I think I picked a good style matchup to do it on. Jose, what do you think of Lupe Godinez tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was I mean, she's a Mexican woman. She's clearly like the toughest person on planet Earth right there. It's all about going to have to be the matchmaking, because like we've seen those fighters. Like, I can't remember what his name is. Who's the fighter that has the big New Mexico flag on his chest? Real young kid.
Rivera?
He's not in the UFC anymore.
Rivera? Jerome Rivera.
All lanky kid.
Yeah, Jerome Rivera. Why do we? That's
he had like bunch of fights. Like he got cut like recently because he had a ton of fights. Like
Jerome Rivera, I think you're talking about.
Yeah, whoever ran his career needs to like dial it back, because that's how you get a fight. He's like a really young fighter, and what did he have, like four fights in like 15 months or something like that?
Three different weight classes.
Like, that's not how to do it. Like, Loopy seems down to scrap no matter what. But she's in a weight class that's not overly stacked, so maybe she's just trying to rack up a bunch of wins and, like, smash her way to the top. Obviously, Dana White will love her for it, but if I'm her coach, and she wants to keep doing this, you're not a Hamza that can just go in there and smash everybody. You got to be a little more selective, because she's not like she's going out there and just starching people. She's like she was clearly lost the striking matchup to Loma. And then she had to take her down. And Loma's also should be an atomweight, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. She's about 5'1", and doesn't look necessarily the most ripped strawweight because she's an atomweight. But
She actually did an amazing job dealing with Loopy's wrestling at first. Yeah. I thought Loopy would take her down easy. She stuffed her. She reversed her, I think, in one of the later rounds. Loma's a really good fighter, but I do think this was a smart matchup for Loopy Godinez, who, by the way, so that's her first four fights. I think that we kind of said one of the reasons why they might want to do this is get their first few fights out, maybe on another contract. Maybe Loopy Godinez is heading into 2022, you know, ready to negotiate some more money. So maybe she did the right thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
What do we see as the ceiling for Loopy or Loma? Do we? I kind of see him in the same place. I mean, someone had to win the fight, you know, and Loopy won. But honestly, I didn't. Neither performance made me think that either they're not going to be top 10 fighters by the end of 2022. I think they're UFC quality fighters, but I just don't see them, you know, being way up there. Did you?
Yeah, and that's fine. This is what Loopy's ninth pro. How many fights? This is her ninth fight. So. I mean, this card was exactly what it looked like on the prelims. It had a lot of inexperienced people, a lot of fighters looking for their first UFC win. Again, it could only overachieve as it was. We kind of got what we expected from a lot of these guys, but Loopy's definitely a badass.
Loma's only 25 too. So obviously and Loopy's a little older, but yeah, both have only 9 fights. So one person won, one person lost, but I think we're hopefully.
There's just like this group of women that are all like clustered together at strawweight that one of them just needs to. It's like her. It's like these two and Mallory Martin and Loopy and Cheyenne Bays and Tabitha Ricci and.
You could throw Pinheiro in there. Luana Pinheiro. You could throw
Pinheiro. Montserrat Ruiz. Like all these people that are like clustered together in one person. Just needs to like break through, and Cheyenne Bays can talk the talk, but she's obviously she's 101, something like that. Like Loopy's whole gimmick is pretty much being the Angela Hill cowboy of like that group of fighters, and something needs to happen. Because now that we lost like Lavinia Souza and Randa Marcos are gone, and Verna just lost, like there's a lot of room to move up in that division. Brianna Van Buren's coming back at some point.
She had a baby coming back. Yeah.
She did. She's a mama.
Actually,
Casey, go ahead, Casey.
What are you going to ask me?
I see a question. I think it's more of a comment, but it kind of phrases a question. I want to ask about this.
I want to talk about this lady because she had the most impressive performance of the night. We really haven't talked about her too much.
Yes. Well, this kind of ties into what the other thing I was looking at. Joseph Bose is asking, Tyler Santos looked good versus Joanne Wood. That rhymed. Is she somebody that could fight for a title in 2022? I'll give my answer quick. Yep, definitely. Jose?
Yeah, it's more of the weight class being so shallow and Valentina kind of blitzing through the division. But Talia Santos picks up two more wins. She's at a point where I wouldn't argue. It's not like she's just the next body up. Like she wins two more. Like I'm not opposed to her fighting for the title. Also, by the end of 2022, 100%, she's going to be in that mix.
Casey, how soon? How soon?
Tomorrow.
Next.
If they gave her a title shot after her performance tonight, it would be okay. Yeah, that would make sense. What Santos has done in her last four fights in the UFC, Shevchenko, I think, has the same sort of dominance. And the part that really impresses me about Santos is not just standing, it's everywhere. Just her hands, mm-hmm. her wrestling, her grappling. It's full mixed martial arts, and she's done it all. It's not just, you know, if someone can get her down, you know, then we're going to beat her. It doesn't feel that way. She feels like she's a complete package. Now, obviously, there's a big jump up between, you know, Roxanne Modafferi, Joanne Wood, Jillian Robertson, to freaking, you know, the queen bee, you know, Shevchenko. It's a big jump, but you got to make that jump sometime. It's up to really the UFC when they feel, and Santos's camp when they feel she's ready, but yeah, she's awesome. Go on.
Her last two fights, she won with wrestling. She won with wrestling her last two fights before this one.
Yeah. The fight to make. Talia Santos versus Andrew Lee in Houston in February for the number one contender.
Number one contender.
Neither woman have fought Valentina. You know, yeah. Andrew Lee wants to fight in Houston again. I think those are the two that, because, you know, Talia just had that. I mean, not Talia. Mm-hmm. Andrew Lee just had that big win last week. Talia had this big mm-hmm. week this week. So they're on the same timeline. Or if you just want to book her against Alexa Grasso, who was supposed to fight JoJo anyway. I would have hate that fight. Just a fun fight.
Yeah, I still want to see the JoJo Grasso fight. I still think that fight should be made. So either way, yeah, that all those names kind of still jumbled together. But she could get the title shot. Jennifer Maya did. Lauren Murphy did wins off JoJo. Maybe Talia Santos is next. Maybe that's the key. You beat JoJo, you get a title shot.
You might have to remind me, but I know JoJo's obviously lost fights before, lost close decisions, but she's been submitted. But I don't recall a fight her just getting just bombarded with strikes and power strikes and just like really hurting JoJo like we saw tonight. And
I believe she'd never been knocked down before. I believe I saw some people saying on social media she had actually never been knocked down before. She got knocked down twice in this fight.
Yeah, and that was a first round fight, right? That was round one. Yeah, it was
11 seconds left.
Yeah, it was incredibly impressive from Santos. Unfortunately, you know, I think we're all kind of fans of JoJo, but I think, you know, but we all looked at this thing like, oh God, this is a tough fight. And unfortunately for JoJo, it went as, you know, bad as we thought it was going to go for her.
But and I think,
go ahead, Jose.
Was it on the MMA Hour when JoJo was like, oh, I was really excited to fight Alexa Grasso, and then we switched out and I don't know if it'll be as exciting. And like, she's saying all this, I'm like, oh, that is getting me up rough, because Talia Santos is hits really hard.
Yeah.
People forget, like, she even said, she's like, I come from Muay Thai. Like, I learned how to wrestle for MMA, but I come from a striking background.
I saw someone asking, I apologize, I think it was, I don't know who said it, you can shout it out, guys. They were asking, I think it was Maxim G in the comments who's saying, was it a bad, I guess it was a bad idea for her to get married during her training camp. Now, I don't know. I don't know if that affected it. Casey, could that have, you're a fighter now. If you got married now, do you think that would affect your fight coming up in February?
Absolutely. 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 Especially if I'm fighting, if I'm 125 pound woman, yes, I mean, but hey, man, you know, JoJo made her decisions, and I can't see how getting married 2 weeks before is going to be beneficial to a fight camp and fighting Talia Santos. I just don't see that.
But not why she lost. Obviously, Talia Santos is a great fighter.
No, right?
From what we saw tonight, any version of Talia Santos beats any version of you know, JoJo.
I think what we've learned is that Akili just doesn't believe in love.
Ooh. No. I don't believe I'll ever find love. That's a different question altogether.
I think your true colors have shown, and you just hate romance and love, and you want everyone to hate everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, because I'm jealous. That's not a secret. That's not subtext. That's just text. That's in my Twitter bio. You brought it up, buddy.
He's no longer the prince of positivity. He's now the miser of MMA, AKA Lee.
Jeez. No, I love MMA.
Wow.
It's life that's bringing me down.
My keg leaves are 1 week, and jeez.
Well, I mean, look, my keg doesn't have to put up with this kind of chicanery. Rich P, top tier. What's next for Tate after this loss tonight? Jose, you have all the answers. What do you think? What's going on with Misha Tate?
Did Yana's having a baby right now, right? So she's out. If Aspen Ladd drops back down to 135, I mean, that's kind of the fight to make, right? There's beef there between both sides. Macy Chazen, maybe, because Macy and Aspen Ladd have been matched up a few times before Aspen jumps back up. Maybe Rocky, the rematch of Rocky.
Rocky won.
The problem is, like, I selfishly want to watch the fight with Holly again, but Holly's on, like, the up, like, closer to a title shot than Misha is, and Holly also might fight at 145. So I don't know if I'm probably Rocky or Macy or Aspen, but Aspen's the fight to make if Aspen goes back to 135.
Are we done thinking Tate's ever gonna fight for a title, or can she back off a couple of wins and get a title shot?
I'm not done.
She's still there.
She's still in there.
Okay.
She's very good. She's very talented. The UFC seems to like her, and she's very popular with fans. So I think she's gonna. If she wins two more, I think she gets a title shot. If she won today, she'd probably get a title shot.
If she gets the home fight and won that one, she gets the title shot.
Sure.
I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know. Not great. Not great, Javon. You don't find love, AK. Love finds you, dummy. Oh, thank you, Javon. That's very thoughtful. I hope that's true. I also wanted someone's comment, but this one I remember who said it. Be back. Sorry, this is kind of going back to the DC thing. They said Cormier has not been the same since Ariel took his picture off of the MMA Hour wall. I don't know. Maybe. Let's go. I think if you do the timeline, I think it works out. Replaced by Pat McAfee. And Virna Jandiroba, the island girl herself. Let's do one last question, Casey. Let's go. Garrett Trammell, with I believe a Jimi Hendrix profile picture. I think the key is about is a prime argument for normalizing rematches. Ooh. If Chiesa watches the tape and loses the knees, I think he wins. It'd be a fun fight. Normalizing rematches gives way to so much. Jose, you seem to be nodding.
I get it, but. This isn't boxing, and like I feel like when you're all into the same UFC, like you win, you move up and you move on. It's not a controversial decision. It's not Shogun Machida where like you know one guy won and it was so blatant that they ran it back, or when who is it? Herb Dean like kind of screwed Saba Hamasi in one of those fights, so they ran it back immediately. Mm-hmm. This wasn't that. Like Sean Brady just won a sporting event, like two rounds to one, if that. So I get it, and I would love to see this rematch, but not right away. Like Sean Brady won, he gets to move up in the rankings. Michael Chiesa lost, he can. There's other rematches for Michael Chiesa to take, like Michael Chiesa rematching Kevin Lee at welterweight. I wouldn't hate that, considering they're both coming off L's right now. Sean Brady was supposed to fight Kevin Lee before that fight fell out, so they're kind of both in the same place in their career. So. But not immediately, not for a fight like this. I don't think that's fair to Sean Brady. But I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I'm down with the idea of normalizing rematches. There's a lot of rematches that I'd love to see. I do think rematches should be more frequent, including especially immediate rematches. Because if you see a great fight, why wouldn't you want to see it again? This, I don't know about this particular fight, but yes, normalize rematches overall. Casey?
I agree with everything you said, but like if you told me if you told me they're going to book Brady Chiesa 2 as a main event in 3 months, I'm picking Chiesa. Just saying. Like, I mean, that's what's most weird would. About this. That's what's weird. Like, even though I picked Brady to win this fight, and he did win this fight, in a rematch, if it was 5 rounds, I would pick Chiesa. It's just, but I think there's so much talent in the UFC's welterweight division. I just don't think they necessarily need this rematch because there's no real, like, heat, you know, like bad blood. It was just just two top welterweights fighting, and one person won, one person lost. And you know, you learn from your mistakes. You know, learn from what you did right, wrong, and then you move on.
See, I would actually pick Brady because I think his team would have a lot more to learn from mistake wise. I think like I don't know if there's anything Chiesa can do to avoid kind of that wrestling game. I think there's a lot of things.
Well, those knees, he threw those stupid knees.
Sure. And
like, that's one of those things. Like, just keep it with your hands. It's like punch you were longer than fight. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Obviously, both fighters have good camps, and both fighters are going to make adjustments.
It's like the Mighty Mouse Ian McCall thing, where it's like, I think this was the moment. Like, I think the moment was missed. I think this was, if this was a 5-round fight, Chiesa definitely wins. This was his time to get Brady before Brady gets to a certain point. And like
I think
McCall like I think he definitely would have beaten Demetrius Johnson that one time if they'd gone to overtime like they were supposed to, and then the rematch wasn't even close, right? So that's something like that.
I also think I agree with Dean Thomas said, where after that first round that Michael Chiesa kind of had to completely rejigger his striking because of the two eye pokes. He didn't want to lose that point.
Yeah.
Like he had to completely rework his game plan on the fly. And Dean Thomas is very good at that, like in between breaking down fights thing.
Oh, I guess before we wrap up, we didn't talk about this.
Adrian Yanez, yes, 4-for-4 now. 3 performance of the night bonuses in his first 3 fights, all knockouts. And now this one went to a decision, fight of the night. So that is 4 $50,000 bonuses for Yanez, 4-for-4.
And I'm pretty confident only Ronda and maybe Justin Gaethje have done this. So
I think Zombie did it.
Maybe Zombie
might have. Gaethje, I think, won. Five bonuses in his first 4 fights. Like he won more bonuses than he had.
He won performance and fight of nights. Yeah.
I think in his career he has 9 bonuses and 8 fights, 8 UFC fights. So,
but that's incredibly impressive considering Yanez has never been a co-main or main event. He's just been kind of on the card.
If he gets an O'Malley fight, that's going to be up there.
Yeah, Korean Zombie had 4 bonuses in his first 3 fights. He had submission of the night, knockout of the night, and then sub and fight of the night. But then the Aldo fight was – he just got smacked up.
Yeah, by his shoulder. His shoulder is his shoulder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His last fight, I think his last fight was his first win that he didn't get a bonus ever.
Thank you. Thank you, Gustavo, for that comment. That is true. Adrian Yanez won another killer at 135 pounds. You could take 30, you could take any one of the top like 40 at bantamweight and throw them in there. You're getting like
Who do you want to see him fight next?
Ooh. I like the O'Malley call out.
O'Malley's already booked. O'Malley's already booked. He has a fight in like a month, so we're going to put him on the sidelines because he has to win first.
He's fighting Paiva, right? Holly and Paiva.
Rudolfo. So, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Paiva, I think.
Yeah.
This is true. He definitely shouldn't look past him, but they said it's next month. I'd say if he wins that fight, I totally want to see him fight Yanez.
Who did Varichas beat? Marlon Varichas beat
Cheeto.
Yeah.
Didn't he just,
oh no. Song it off.
Frankie Edgar.
Oh no. That was Frankie Edgar.
Okay. No, I don't do Frankie Edgar.
Song it on.
How about Hany Barcelos? God.
Oh, Hany Barcelos is a good one.
Sure.
I like Yudong, actually. I think Song Yudong.
I don't know if they give him that. They're both like under 25 years old or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. I take it back. Actually, I don't like that. I want who's a vet? I want to get
Kyler Phillips.
God,
Casey Cody Stamen.
Kyler would Ricky make sense. Simone. He's Sean O'Malley's buddy too. Sean O'Malley's Ricky buddy, Simone. So little, you know, proxy fight. Ricky Simone, sure. Ricky Simone doesn't even have a fight.
What about?
Is he fighting against Sal? Is Ricky Simone not fighting us on Sour? Did I make
that? Keller.
Ooh, geez.
Oh, he'd love that. He'd love to take that fight.
That sounds good.
He'd love to fight Adrian Yanez.
Does Jack Shore have a fight?
Jack Shore.
I saw one reported. I did see a reported fight for Jack Shore. I can't quite remember what it is now. But
look how easy it is to book these 35ers.
I know. There's not a bad fight. But
not a bad fight.
The problem is like the fights that I want to see him take, I don't want to see. Like I want to see them, but like, I don't want to see him fight Yudong or Umar right now.
I know,
because I think like those are 3 of the like even Kyler, because I think a lot of us think Kyler Phillips should have beaten Paiva. Like I had him winning on that, so like to me it's one of those fights where like I still view him as the winner. Like it should be Kyler and O'Malley. O'Malley would never take that fight, but like the Stamen fight, Stamen's what, lost 2 in a row. Like Yanez, I think that's have him fight Yanez. I think that's a fun scrap.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. A lot of great options. I see people throwing names out there in the comments. So thank you guys for all the comments. Thank you guys for watching the show. Oh, before we leave, anyone we didn't mention, sorry. Pat Sabatini looked great in his win over Tucker Lutz. Rafa Garcia handing Nathan Levy his first loss. We mentioned Lupe Godinez. Shailan Nurdenbike beating Sean Soriano. Sean's a great striker. Grappling, you got to work on that. Nurdenbike, very impressive getting his first UFC win. And Luana Pinheiro moving to 2-0 and getting her first actual win after winning by DQ against Ronda Marcos. But 2-0 for Pinheiro, good for her. So congrats to all the winners tonight. And thank you everyone again for joining. I don't need love. I have the love of you guys. I have the love of Jose Youngs and Casey Leiden. I'm just going to assume, and everyone watching. And that's, people, that is what gets me through the day. So I really appreciate everyone who watches, and I think I speak on all of our behalfs when I say thanks for tuning into MMA Fighting Programming. And we'll see you. I mean, we'll have a lot of shows coming out throughout the week. Don't forget, guys, the BTL tournament's going on. But we won't have another preview or post-fight Q&A stuff until 2 weeks from now. December.
I don't know. We got some Triller next weekend. We haven't decided what we're going to do.
Oh, yet. This is true. We got some
triangle Triller.
Is that triangle going to have? Are they going to use that triangle?
Oh. we gotta, I think you have to modify it. Gotta buy the pay-per-view to find out. Buy the pay-per-view.
All right, guys. Thanks, guys. You're going to see a lot of us soon.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.